good afternoon. Welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pap Bay Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. You can get pretty much anything you need relating to Ag and Turf there at Pap Bay Machinery. Give them a call at 226-9226.
There wasn't even a one in it.
I know it. I don't know where that
don't
came
look at
from.
Me when you're talking because I was giving off the wrong information.
You were. 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And go by and get a generator from them before PG&E shuts your power off, because that's coming probably in the next 30 days.
And they have Honda generators, not the really loud ones that are at Costco. Besides that, Costco's going to make you wear a mask after the fourth. Boo.
Yeah. Got to wear a mask. We won't require you to wear a mask.
Just say no to masks. No, go get a Honda generator. It's quiet.
Yep.
And so let's see. You can get archives on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. You can find commercial free to listen to. Lots of fun information, too, because we build a page for every single show with all the information that our guests talk about. If they reference any other websites or articles or things, those are all on there for you. And you can take the MP3 files. I don't care if you burn them onto CDs and sell them to your friends. I mean, why would you do that? But, you know, or if you raise money for an organization, go right ahead. We don't have copyright issues. You can also find us locally here in the Reading area on KRDT channel 23.7 on Tuesday nights on the American Uncensored News Network.
There you have it.
Go figure that out.
Hey, before the break, we were talking about how technology has really kind of dumbed us down a little bit as far as our own.
Let's find out if you're reading my mind. Are you going to ask my question?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. But it kind of reminded me, just to show you how far we've come. When I was in high school, I remember when a kid brought a pocket calculator to school, and everybody was like, wow, what is that? You know, and when the teachers found out he had it, he had to leave it in the locker. I mean, you had to know your math. No cheating.
Okay, the sad part is I actually remember that, too.
Yeah, there was no cheating on that. And now, shoot, kids take a cell phone to school. They don't have to learn anything.
Just look it up,
you know. So you go downtown now and you look at people. Where was I the other day? I was sitting in a waiting room somewhere, and every single person in there had their head down looking at a cell phone as people were walking in and walking out. And I thought, wow, somebody could walk in here with a club and hit everybody in the head and they wouldn't even look up. You know, it's just nuts. No interaction anymore.
Okay. Okay. And there's Bill's two bits. Boy, he's been percolating that for a long time. I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Yeah, I feel better.
It's a little bit of therapy in this show, too. I was curious, Brian or Greg, what about the cameras people put in their houses? Besides the fact we don't have them at our house because I think it's creepy, but like in their houses or outside their houses, does that make it them? I mean, obviously everybody's different, but does that generally make people more vigilant or less vigilant?
I would say probably at first, when you first put them in, right? You know, people go, oh, wait, there's a camera there. And then slowly, guess what happens real quick? You forget that it's there. So it's like when anything would come with cameras, first of all, if cameras are great, like I have one of those Ring doorbell cameras so that anyone walks up to us, I can see who it is. And it automatically records a few seconds and all that stuff. And I love that just because you can go back and look at that. But that's the thing is that it's usually used after the fact, after something happened, right? So it doesn't do a real good job of preventing anything sometimes. And also you look at countries or cities where they have a ton of CCTV, like closed caption television. Like you go to London and there's cameras everywhere. I mean, more than we ever see here in the U.S. And guess what it does to crime? Well, not a whole lot, it turns out, right? So in some areas, it might have a little bit of a deterrent, but then over time, we forget it's there, and we continue to go on about our life as if it wasn't there.
Yeah, so it's not the big solution that it's kind of put forward. It's interesting to me that for the average citizen, I've always found that like keeping your porch light on at night. Your front lights on. I mean, that's an easy deterrent to crime. I think it's way better than a camera. And yet, I look at all these neighbors who have cameras. The lights are off.
Yeah, and that's another great point, right? We're all about, you know, low calorie solutions, things that are simple, that are easy, that don't take a lot of time or effort that you can do. And what you just brought up is literally making your home a harder target, right? If I'm a bad guy, if I'm a criminal, and I come walking by and I see those lights on, right, and you've got whatever else out, and it's a, well, I don't want to go there, right? I'm just going to move along the street. I'm going to go somewhere else. So with things with crime, right, you know, we're never going to get rid of crime, right? It's getting better, but there's always going to be criminals out there. And so what you want to do is you want to protect yourself and your family and your community, and just every little bit that you do, you know, it might not get them to stop committing crimes, but it'll stop you from committing crime at your home, and that's ultimately then that's a win for you, right? So simple things like that are much better than trying to capture something after the fact.
Yeah, I was curious, I guess we've kind of made an assumption here, that most of your training is about, I mean, obviously the stuff overseas, you know, when you get into terrorism, but I guess that is a type of crime. Is all of your training basically geared toward crime and crime deterrent, I guess, for lack of a better...
Wow, that's an incredible question, and the simple answer is no. The idea is our training is about increasing human performance by allowing you to make better choices. So it's about sense making to problem solve and then being more adaptable to new and novel situations and building resilience by solving for X right more than you do wrong. So the idea is that any new situation, as a matter of fact, have you ever walked into a restaurant, you're with a bunch of people, and you're all talking, and it's a new restaurant, and you're excited about going in, and you go in, and for just a second, you forgot what you were talking about. Well, then your brain's saying, hey, shut up, let's take a look around here for a minute. Those are good skills that our primitive brains are still very good at saying, hey, give me a minute to make order out of chaos. Give me a minute to smell the parking lot to make sure there's not sulfur and cordite, and there hasn't just been a shootout. What we have to do is we have to give ourselves the gift of time and distance. We have to mentally prioritize the most likely things that are going to happen in our life, and then we can start ignoring those, and the most dangerous things, and pay a little more attention to those. So whether we're teaching SEALs or Deltas or Special Forces, or we're teaching, you know, a group of high school kids how to be more resilient and less prone to sexual harassment or suicide, it's the same core principles. One, how your brain works. Two, what's your visual field and the rest of your senses feeding to your brain? Three, how can I improve that message function and be quicker, faster at solving for X so I can avoid that next deadly or dangerous situation?
Yeah, I'm curious when you do the high school type seminars, I bet this is really popular.
Well, you know,
because it's not regular class, right?
It's popular to everybody because the cool thing is doing what we do. Because the most common thing is, wow, where's this been all my life? Where was this before my you know, first deployment? Why didn't I get this when I was in high school? The problem is the way we teach all classes, and not to bag on our education, our teachers are doing a great job. But remember, when we don't have a more Babsian approach, when we don't have a more involved approach with the teachers and the students, and certainly we're learning a little bit of that now when, you know, Brian at home had to become a second grade teacher all over for his kids. My kids are all older. But the idea is that you have to make learning fun and exciting. So we're using really, really hard science, but the idea is that we make it fun and we put it into practical application scenarios so you're not sitting in a classroom. You're out there learning it. You're practicing it and doing it in the moment. And that's, I think, what makes it much more popular.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And you get to you participate in that before the fact, before the incident, instead of after.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that...
We had a guy, we were just talking about it on our way in today. We had a guy come on years ago who was a SEER trainer, and he had adapted it to a community type of training for just civilians. And I'd gone to that years ago. And I'll tell you what, I have never forgotten that the three things you had to know was who are they, what do they want, and how far will they go to get it. And
see, look how good that is.
Oh yeah.
See, if everything in our lives,
I could never forget it.
Distilled down to, yeah, if it was distilled down to just three, and if it was very memorable, that's why training changes behavior.
Oh yeah, he scared the crap out of us. He hired actors to come in with guns and abduct us. And so then he's like, okay, these are the three things you need
sure
to know.
Are you sure it was a class?
Oh yeah.
Did you find your purse?
Oh, it was awesome. Actually, I rescued our group because I'm good under pressure. The other ladies, one of them just started crying and went mental and left. She failed. So it was sort of a thinning of the herd, I guess, as it were. We have to take a break. Look at that. Look at the time. We'll be right back with our guests, Brian Marin and Greg Williams. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
In the town where I was raised, clock ticks and the cattle graze. Time passed with amazing grace back where I come from. You could lie on a riverbank, paint your name on a water tank. Discount all the beers you drank back where I come from. Back where I come from, where I'll be when it's said and done. Well, I'm proud as anyone, that's where I come from. Make a supersonic man out of you.
Such a good time, I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you wanna have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
yes,
now.
I'm having a good time. I don't wanna stop at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of fitting because we have like 40 minutes left. What the heck?
I know, time's
all right.
Flying.
So guys, what didn't we ask you because you know... a 1,000,000% more than we do. What have we missed that you really think people should know? And then we'll just listen.
Well, I would put it in actually something you guys kind of brought up and that we can get back into is how we categorize some of these issues, right? Because you said, hey, I don't know what this sharp, sad, or gatekeeper stuff, programs that we've done before in the past, and they're all about prevention, right? And so the gatekeeper one was a part of a U.S. Army suicide prevention program. The sharp one was the sexual harassment assault response and prevention. Same thing is how do you identify these individuals? But all of these things that we're talking about can be classified under what we
There's
call.
There's something funky going on with the sound.
Well, I think we're losing your mic.
Or can you still hear me?
Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
You were getting all modulated.
Sorry about that. So the things that we kind of classify, like I said, is under what we call an insider threat, right? And which makes sense for any type of situation, like people talk about, hey, someone's going to kill me. How's this going to happen? How do I protect myself? It's like, well, look to your family and friends and people you already know, because that's actually, you're more likely to be hurt or injured or killed by someone that you know, right? So things like the suicide prevention, sexual harassment, assault, those are all insider threats, but so is a school shooter, meaning that's a kid that goes to that school, that's part of the community, that's an insider threat. And so a lot of these issues that we face fall under that category, right? We always fear the boogeyman and we're always looking up and out, but we gotta learn to look down and in too, right? Sometimes it might be a loved one or a friend or a coworker that has something going on that isn't being addressed and for whatever reason and things are starting to escalate. And that's more likely what we're going to come across versus any of these other crazy scenarios that a lot of people like to come up with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because, the crazy stuff doesn't happen. It's the boring stuff. It's the going into the bank.
Yeah, and remember, the less novel the external experience is, the lower the threshold of excitement, the less arousal, the less we pay attention to it. And we constantly have two, fallback mechanisms. We have the ostrich, which is, it's never going to happen to me, so I'm going to go stick my head in the hole and just not look for it. Or we have hypervigilance, which is just unsustainable. You don't need to put, armed guards and extra cameras and, I'm sure neither of you guys are as old as I am, but I remember walking home from East Detroit High School, and on my route, I walked home. I knew every neighbor all the way till I got to my house. I could say, I'm Mrs. Long, I'm Mrs. Johnson. You know, all the factory workers that were out on the porch would ask how school was. And you know, we had a community. What's happened is, again, to bash, you know, technology, what's happened is that we're happy to text message, but we're not as happy to call somebody. And COVID has really brought us back to Zooming and Skyping and talking to people in groups, which is great. I hope that part of it lingers around. And being much more self-reliant. Resilience comes from getting knocked down, getting skinned knees, and getting back up again. And that's what America does better than any other country in the world. And we certainly hope that's happening here. So our training, the natural extension of sense-making and problem-solving and situational awareness, obviously it's going to work for suicide prevention. Obviously it's going to work for, you know, retention of the best and brightest in your corporation. Obviously, you're not going to leave as much money on the boardroom table when you're doing negotiations. Why? Because it's humans reading humans. And there's no machine in the world that's capable of doing that yet. And we're a long way from developing technology that can replace us.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. And I grew up in the same kind of neighborhood. Yeah, you did know everybody. You knew what was supposed to be there and what was not supposed to be there. And so that was really easy to take care of your home situation. Same too with school, actually. School wasn't really very much of a wild card. And I understand why they're, you know, increasing that perimeter security and things on school. But if the teachers were to have taken your training, and I was going to say the students, but how low do you go? Like how young can they be?
Yeah, well, and just one second, Brian, I'll let you answer that in detail. But I would say that, listen, if you teach your kids not to go near the oven and make sure that you tuck in your panhandle so you don't accidentally tip it on to little Jimmy when you're in the kitchen, if you say, listen, when you're riding your bike, roll up your pant leg so it doesn't get caught in the chain, if the kid's old enough for those discussions, then they're old enough for these discussions. And the idea is you start them early, you do it early, you do it often, and it becomes a habit. And then you don't have to train as hard because now it's a hard habit to break. Sorry, Brian, go ahead.
No, it's kind of just reiterating what Greg was saying is having those conversations, like he said, you know, early and often. We sometimes want to shelter our kids, right? We want to, you know, shelter them or you know, make them kind of get in their way of different threats or different things they're going to face, and we don't want them to have that hard life. But we should focus on, well, rather than trying to make the world around them, you know, safer or easier or however you want to articulate it, we should just look at, hey, how do we empower them? I want to make them better so they can face all those issues that they're going to face with a more confidence and confidence. I mean, literally, how to develop resilience in your own kid. And like Greg said, is talking about some of these issues, you don't even necessarily know how. I mean, we have to do it sometimes with our 7-year-old at home. It's like, man, we see this stuff going on. Well, we can have a simple conversation to create communication and dialogue. And that way she knows, doesn't maybe fully understand it, but knows she can talk to us about it when she does see it or come up. She knows that's an okay subject to talk about. And I think just having those conversations, although they can be difficult, or that's the first step, right? That's how these things start to get better. You know, allow them the ability to communicate. And since we are bashing technology, which I regularly do, we'll look at the other side of the coin of that. We let our 7-year-old, because we don't want her, you know, face buried in the phone when she's out in public or doing that. Well, we got ahead of it. Let's start now. And we let her use an old cell phone that doesn't have an actual cell phone plan, but it can connect to Wi-Fi. And you know what she can do? She can text and video call her grandparents, her uncles, her little cousins that are the same age as her that live across the country. And you know what? That's really cool. And she learns responsibility and how to use it and when to use it. It's not allowed at the dinner table. I set my phone down on the dinner table the other night, and she's like, what are you doing? That's not allowed up here. And I was like, oh, my, you're right. I'm like, well, I guess this is working. But then it becomes less interesting. She's not always on it anymore because, you know what, it's just another thing. So now she wants to go outside and play and not be on the phone. So I think by getting ahead of it, you know, that's what we always try to say. It's always about prevention and being proactive. Now, maybe that might not work for every family, but just trying to, how do you have those conversations and get ahead of the issues versus just waiting for something to happen and then reacting to it?
Yeah, I think it's real easy for parents to fall into that technology trap. You know, it's it's easier to, you know, turn on the TV and let them watch TV rather than go outside and play and interact with, you know, the neighbor kids and know mm-hmm. the neighbors. And
well, the fear trap, too. If you yeah. think about it, the fear trap started a long time ago because I'm probably older than you are, Craig, because in the 80s when my kids were little, I used to let them ride their bikes in the woods. And the other parents were like, what are you doing? They can't ride their bikes in the woods. I'm like, do you really think there's somebody hiding in the woods just waiting for a kid to ride by? I mean, you got a whole town full of kids. Why would you wait in the woods? I mean, that just seems dumb.
Right.
And they were there with their friends.
And that's why
go be smart.
The books and films that are out there about somebody that would steal your kid are so exciting because it's so rare. It's so statistically insignificant that those people actually exist. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be cavalier about it. You're not going to just forget it and say, Jimmy, here's a bottle of bourbon, go ride your bike. but by the same token, you know, training is the cheapest investment. It's cheaper than a gosh darn cell phone. And we still get some people and some educators and some chiefs of police, for example, that'll tell us, well, you know, with these kids, we don't want to bring that stuff up because if we bring it up, that might put ideas in their head. Well, I would liken that to sex education where somebody says, hey, you know, my kid doesn't need the sex education. I don't want to put ideas in their head. But if you're not going to talk to them about it, somebody is.
Yeah,
I'd
right.
rather have an expert that was there than to have some guy on the street say, hey, here's my 2 cents.
Yeah, well, if they've learned it in a training, they're much more likely to bring it up to their parents or their teachers that they saw something that fit into what they learned. And I would imagine the same goes for companies, too. If you're allowed to have a dialogue about things that are weird, because if you look at our companies these days, you're not allowed to bring up anything that's weird because that
right.
means you're a hater. And, you know, you've got to go to HR to get your ethics training again or whatever. So you're not allowed to bring
sensitivity
up sensitivity training.
I
failed,
that.
So I don't even know what it's called.
Been there, done that.
And Bill's so nice.
No, but you're exactly right. Both of you are exactly right. The idea is if you see something, say something, is a great national plan. But if you don't have the basic architecture for what is it I'm looking for, what does it look like, and who do I tell? And I don't mean a 1-800 number. That's not going to help me. Listen, do I go to HR when I think the person in the next cubicle is about to unwind? When I see somebody doing something unhealthy or what looks like self-harm or discussing fighting a coworker, what do I do with that information? Listen, that's what takes training, and you're not going to get that from queuing into some website or going into some 15-minute webinar. You know, you remember the old Jack Webb Motorola videos? You know, you got to get a little bit deeper with that. You got to interact with other human beings. You have to have an expert leading the discussion and the training, and then you're going to walk away with some tangible skills that you can pay forward to any situation, not just wartime, not just cops, maybe going to the 7-Eleven, maybe stopping and getting fuel in your vehicle.
Yeah, because I think that's the stuff we do all the time. That's where our exposure is. But, you know, I do think that a lot of times the excessive, in everything goes, we're in that everything goes phase, I think, like it was back in the 60s. So you're not allowed to say anything is weird or bad. And I think we're going to have to get back to that a little bit and make some be discerning. How's that?
You're starting to hurt my feet.
My mom used to say be discriminating. It's like, ooh, that's out. I'm sorry.
As long as you have artifacts and evidence, as long as you have a fact-based way of saying it, then you're not profiling somebody. Listen, we're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. We're not trying to make anybody look bad.
We're
going to try to, you know, one of the things on your website, you've talked to and interviewed whistleblowers. And we promote that, right? We want a whistleblower to make our nation safer and stronger. So that's the same thing. If you see something, say something at work, you could save a life and maybe your own life.
Yeah, I think so, too. When we come back, I'd like to kind of talk about some of the interesting ones you've done. Like, I mean, we haven't talked about airlines or any of that. Not that we're allowed to fly anywhere, but, you know, when we get to do that again, how can we be smarter passengers? I've always heard you should wear lace-up shoes, but... that's about all I've got. Maybe that was just my mom.
That's a great, actually. We'll get into that. You're already hitting on it.
Yeah, she was right. That and, you know, the whole clean underwear thing. But so you're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm starting to hurt my feelings.
Hey, I'm solid. Hey, I'm steady. Hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost. I know the sacrifice.
finally take the stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier,
cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
We had to have a full Toby Keith selection. We can't talk to veterans and not play those. It's not possible. So before we wind up in the crush of the top of the hour, I wanted you guys to let people know how they can get a hold of you. And because I'm sure, you know, people are listening thinking, hey, this is a good idea. I'm assuming you teach outside the U.S., but maybe not. So maybe do a little shameless plug there for your company.
I would love to do a shameless plug. Thank you. First of all, the best place is going to have all of our ways to get a hold of us is at the website at ArcadiaCognorati.com. But we're also all over social media. So we've got Arcadia Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, we've got it all. We also actually do a podcast called the Less of Greg podcast. So it'll play on us every time we go anywhere. I always have to, you know, when we go for anywhere for work and training, I'm driving and Greg's sitting in the front seat. And the conversations we have in the car are basically the same conversations we have in the podcast. It's where the idea came from. I'm always sitting to the left of them. So, that's a great resource of information, especially on the website too. Greg writes what we call lessons learned. So we'll take a bunch of different topics or scenarios or people that you may have heard the story about before and then link them all together in some way that you're like, wow, I had no idea these three concepts had to do with each other or these people were historically significant in some other way I'd never heard. So it's really cool stuff, and that's the whole idea about taking lessons learned out and then conceptualizing so we can learn from again. But website is definitely the best place to get a hold of us and has all of our contact information on there.
And just for people who maybe aren't tuned into our site, just I want to spell it for people. It's ArcadiA, and that's the Arcadia part. And then the second word is Cognorati, CognRati.com. And yeah, it is. I email a lot of people if I hear something neat or I see something on TV, somebody interviewed, and I'm thinking, oh, that person's interesting. You know, we should hear more from them because most people that are interviewed get to talk for 2 minutes and you don't learn anything.
Right.
And so I thought, well, I'm just going to email these guys. So I send in a generic email. I think, Brian, you got back to me in like 15 minutes or something. I was blown away.
I try to get follow up as quickly as possible with anyone who reaches out to us. That's the work we want to be doing. When you're like, hey, you want to talk about this, or hey, I have some questions. That's what we enjoy, right? I've got all kinds of other stuff I got to do, you know, for the business all day long. But when we get stuff like that, I try to respond right away. I think also I don't want to pat myself on the back here too much because I think you might have caught me right when I was checking everything.
Well, you were a world record holder. I'm like, who is this guy? This is going to be fun.
Yeah. What really usually occurs, I get back as soon as I check it. But I do try to do that right away, and then I try to get responded as quickly as possible. But, that is the best way to get a hold of us is via email like that, the info@ArcadiaCognorati.com. But yeah, I think you might have caught me right when I was actually checking it. So, be patient. If it's the weekend, it might take a little bit of time. If it's during the week, I'll get to you probably by the end of the day at a minimum. So.
Yeah, it was impressive. I was like, well, that was easy. Huh. You should give lessons. You should add that to your resume.
He's up, Aaron. That's going to go to his head. The zero money I pay him for administrating the website.
So pretty soon.
You know, like you and Bill, I don't think we're getting any money right now.
Yeah, we just kind of we pay for the airtime, so we're extra dopey. But we started doing this a long time ago, and it was kind of a they asked, hey, do you want to do a show called We the People? We're like, I don't know, never done it before. And then we started going and thought, gee, this is sure a great way to learn about a lot of stuff. So anytime we think about not doing it, it's like, think of all the things we'll miss.
And to your point, too, and it's the same thing you said when you emailed me, and this is why podcasts are so popular, too. People are looking for that. People are sick of the two-minute clip of some quote-unquote expert or seven of them on the television all at once yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And you don't get any substance out of that because all of these issues we're talking about can get fairly complicated or complex, right? So you got to find someone and you're going to have that discussion and then go, oh, wow, I didn't know all of that, or there's so much more to this than I realized. And that's what people are just searching for. They want that. So that's why podcasts have blown up. That's why I'm sure your show is successful. If people go, well, I want to hear more. Like, tell me what's really going on here, rather than just shouting your opinion at me. So yeah, that's why I love it, and I love what you guys are doing. I think it's awesome.
Well, I think it's super fun. And tell me this. Do you guys train outside the country?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Real quick, Greg. So before we get into this, just I'll let Greg take it. But as your legal advisor, remember dates, locations. Let's keep that out of it. And then stories.
Yeah, that's a great point, Brian.
Are you going to have to kill us if we find out?
So it's U.S. military, foreign military, as long as your coalition forces and ICAR restrictions are in place. But we've done Europe and the Middle East, and 53 countries have received a form, one or the other, of our training. And so we're highly mobile. We don't have a brick and mortar facility. The Rogue Manor West, as I lovingly refer to it, and Brian, I'm in Colorado. Brian is in California, and what we do is we do most of the setting up of the business via the internet through Brian's work with the webinar and or the web rather in the social media. You can see how good I am at it. And then we fly a lot, we travel a lot, and do in-person training. In-person training is absolutely the best. Of course, there's some things that you can do with distance learning and virtual. But in-person, man, we're humans. We've got to see, feel, smell, touch, taste. We've got to touch things and break them and push them over to learn good skills, and we love doing that. Yeah, we go anywhere.
I think that's cool. Yeah, I actually wasn't implying that you guys would just go to anybody who paid you. I mean, obviously, like people who are on our team, you will train.
I don't know. How much are they paying?
I heard the Chinese are looking for some good help.
Exactly.
How's your PR?
Wow.
I'm sorry. I made it ugly. I apologize.
Yeah.
I took it to a dark place.
Yeah, you made it weird. Hey, we're gonna come up on a break in a couple of minutes, but before we run out of time, I'd also like you guys to talk about the Carry the Load and Crusades 22. I know those are both things that you're active in, and I think they're good causes.
Yeah, no, Crusades, we'll start with Carry the Load. Greg and I are both, Greg is too, we're ambassadors for Carry the Load. And what they do is the whole idea was bringing back the kind of meaning of Memorial Day. It started by a couple former SEALs a few years back, one guy by the name of Clint Bruce, U.S. Navy, Naval Academy football player, then SEAL, just great guy, big, a wonderful human being who created this. But his whole thing was he was at a kind of Memorial Day barbecue with his family and friends, and he just wasn't getting, like, he said that this isn't what this is about, and he was upset to the point where his wife was like, hey, you need to go take some time. You need to go for a walk or do whatever. You got to clear your head. So he threw a backpack on and went down to a park down by in Dallas and started walking around. And sitting in that park was this kind of old timer just sitting on the bench. And, he had a little a veteran hat on or something. And he looked right at Clint Bruce and he said, hey there, young man, who are you carrying? And it just kind of clicked in Clint's head. He's like, man, I'm walking around with all of my friends that I lost, metaphorically speaking, I'm carrying them around. And then it just kind of blew up from there. He started to carry the load. And it's bringing back the meaning for veterans, law enforcement, first responders, those types of folks who serve our community, state, and country, and have paid the ultimate sacrifice, just to kind of honor them by talking about them and keeping their stories alive. And they support other these different organizations, so they collect a lot of money, and then they give that to different nonprofits who are doing specific work in areas that they're aligned with. And then Crusade 22, same thing. So that's combating the veteran suicide epidemic through a whole bunch of different technologies and training and different mental health programs kind of all put into one. And that's moving forward into this type of virtual reality training, all kinds of really cool stuff. But it's the same thing. It's just supporting those folks who have skinned their knees and kind of haven't really figured out how to fix it yet, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to kind of put a dent in this nationwide epidemic of suicide. And those are two great organizations that we love doing work with.
Great.
That is awesome.
And the easy way to get a hold of Carry the Load is just carrytheload.org. Stephen Holley's their current president and CEO. Debbie Wright's the executive director. Hallie Johnson. There's such great people there. And it'll make you feel good about America again.
Well, that's not something we can ever run short on. We have to take a really quick break again. Our last salute to capitalism and salute when you said Memorial Day, I thought, oh, I know what we'll play. So we'll be back with our guests, Brian and Greg. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
And some gave all, and some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your balls, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Okay, now we're down to the last like 10 minutes. Can you cram in everything else we didn't talk about?
just like you said before, hold on. Now, before we get too much further, though, give me an opportunity, Aaron and Bill, just to thank you so much. Longtime fan of radio, huge, important media of transmission. Having us on, we're very honored to be on. Also, Aaron, your story, your parents that's a veteran, and your brother is a Green Beret, and the work that you've done for the VA, we're huge fans of that as well. Thanks for giving back, and thanks for giving us the time to be heard.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if we don't share the resources, there's really no point. And it's interesting that our program, although it's called We the People, so you think it would be uniquely American, half of our listenership, and sometimes depending on the topics that we're covering, at any given time, half of our listenership online is out of the country.
Wow. Easily understandable, though. I mean, the thing is, remember, you know, we've been a lot of different places, and in some places you can't speak openly about a variety of topics.
Right.
And every place that we've been lucky enough to teach and go, we've been welcomed, and it's been just an amazing response. And guess what? There's a lot of smart people out there. And I would tell people, don't be afraid to travel. The world is an incredible place, and the more well-traveled you are, the more you'll learn.
Yeah, that's a good plug, because now it looks like, well, now they're telling everyone to stay home. They're afraid to go to the grocery store. So traveling the world's probably like off the bucket list for a lot of folks.
Brent and I thought we were in deep Tim Sheet, because the last few places that we trained, we left Dallas, went to Philly. We left Philly and went to New Jersey to Virginia. And then, you know, we came home, and where I lived, Gunnison was closed. They were at the Monroe Airport telling me, no, you can't come in. And poor Brian had to go back to California. we thought, oh my gosh, we're in the center of the maelstrom. And you know what? things are bad, okay? But things aren't the worst. We are a resilient people, and we're going to bounce back from this too.
Well, I mean, not to be harsh about it, but at the end of the day, really, something that has basically a 99% survival rate, probably not the thing that's going to take most people out.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, but you wouldn't know that listening to the mainstream media.
Oh, I know. It's like, be afraid. Be very afraid. Hide under your bed. The one thing that has come out of it that's kind of funny, sort of off topic, although we did discuss guns earlier, the folks on the left that hate guns are getting a real, I guess we'd call it a comeuppance a little bit here. They're finding out you can't buy guns over the internet, and you can't go buy a gun legally in 5 minutes. And what's up with the 10-day waiting period? And why do they have to do a background check? And what about the gun show loophole?
it's funny. It's funny how that works, right? I mean, it all goes into, you know, behavior and fear and not understanding and how we react to it and controlling our emotions. There's a lot involved in. And what happens too is, you know, people start acting irrationally and, you know, which you're going to do things you wouldn't typically do because, you know, you might say, oh, well, I can handle this or I have a plan or I can do this. But then all of a sudden your neighbor is freaking out and buying 300 rolls of toilet paper. Now you go, wait a minute, maybe I need to go buy toilet paper. And that effect continues as we see that. And then now it's going like, whoa, 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 slow down. Don't follow in line with the people who way overreacted to the situation, right? Be smart, be sensible, use some logic, and use some critical thinking.
Yeah. So
and learn from this. You know, pay this forward. Take a look at what you did right. Take a look at what you did wrong. Get those lessons learned and create an institutional memory. An institutional memory for your family, for your company, for your loved ones. This is simple. And learn from those skin knees and mistakes. That's the true heart of resilience.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It took me 20 years, but those two cases of toilet paper I had stashed for an emergency, Bill kept asking me what kind of an emergency needs toilet paper. I'm like, any emergency where the public panics. He's like, that is ridiculous. But, hey, you know what? I had to wait 2 decades, but I got vindicated.
The New York Times and Washington Post, which they work perfectly as toilet paper for me.
Oh, my God. Well, it's really funny because there was a lady at the Small Business Administration who was helping me out with something the other day. And so I emailed her back and I said, you know, thanks a million. You're worth your weight in toilet paper. she was all excited.
That's great.
I was like, wow, how things have changed.
Good stuff.
So if you were going to, like I was telling you about the training I took, you know, the who are they, what do they want, and how far will they go to get it? If you guys were going to, you know, if you could make a shot and, you know, just give everybody the injection and then they would remember that forever, like, what are your top things?
There's a couple things, but Greg, I would add one real quick, and this is really important for when you're looking at any information or any behavior or someone, right, is that most people want their say, not necessarily their way. So criminals, terrorists, insurgents, your school shooter, those are people that want their way. Most people just want to do what? Well, I want to get me heard. I want to shout from the rooftops. I want to blast it out on social media. And I want to tell the world what I think. And that's okay, right? We have that right in this country, right? And so if I remember this, most people want their say, not necessarily their way. What people have to worry about? Who are the ones that actually want their way? I would frame it that way, but I know, Greg, I want to really let you kind of wrap it there, Greg.
Yeah, and so your SEER instructor, you know, he epitomized it in three things. I would say if we were going to talk about just three things, baseline plus anomaly equals decision. Somewhere in your baseline of what you do every day, you're going to run into something that's incongruent. That's an anomaly. It's something above your baseline. It's something below your baseline. And when you see that, stop, take a few extra seconds to look at it, because that's where the danger lies. If everything is going along swimmingly, and it seems like every other day, you're probably doing pretty good. But if all of a sudden it's, you know, the hustle and a person's talking to you and the vehicle is coming a little too close behind you and things feel uncomfortable, trust your instincts. Baseline plus anomaly drives that decision.
No, I think that's
good.
Yeah, that's super helpful. And I like the idea about most people want their say but not their way. That's true because most people will just talk to you. But then there are the you know, the Bernie supporters who will go completely bananas and burn your house down. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud?
No, you can't say that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, but it's true.
No, think about that, though. You're spot on. I mean, you wear the wrong hat and you're
oh, yeah.
a victim.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not the America that we grew up in.
No, and it's not the whole it's not the whole side of that paradigm. It's a segment where they can't have a rational discussion. Part of that segment, you don't say the right thing. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a hater. You're whatever. There's a name call. But then there are the other guys that you know they want to wear a mask all the time before the pandemic,
right.
and they want to clock you with a 2x4.
Exactly.
I ruined the show. You're still
nice.
There.
Nice one, no, Aaron.
No, well, I'm right. Yeah. I got my yellow pie and I'm right there. So we already nailed it. What more after that?
The part about the 2x4.
No, like, that's a perfect example of someone who wants their way, and you're exactly right. And that I don't care where on the political spectrum, religious spectrum, religious, social, cultural, whatever your ideology is, there's people that want their say, and then there's people that want their way. So, you know.
Well, it's funny because I could figure it out, but I take my dog to the office, and the dog knows the difference. He can spot literally the political differences. One, he kind of doesn't do anything. The other one, he kind of is afraid of, and the other one, he growls at. And the growlers are the 2x4 guys.
Yeah, but the greatest thing, and we all know where the jokes and where the serious part is, but for the people that are listening in, this isn't rocket science, but it is science. It is sociology and psychology and
yeah.
cultural anthropology, and we've spent a lot of time looking at it. And you know what? Whatever the incidents are, there's always pre-event indications of violence. Nothing comes out of nowhere. So all you got to do is look for those incongruent signals, and anytime you're in a situation where somebody wants their way and their say, you probably need to get out of it.
Yeah.
Yep, I would totally agree.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you guys coming on. This has been a flash 2 hours.
It's not as late as you think, Bill. In reality, we're looking at a clock that says that we have 10 seconds left, but really we have almost a minute.
No.
The atomic clock, yeah. You know, when you get those atomic clocks, I don't know why some atomic clocks are atomic and other ones are
I depended on technology. Look at that.
But
we'd be honored to be invited back, if only so you can read the rest of my resume.
Honestly, if people, I encourage people to go online and look at this, because honest to God, there are acronyms in here. I might think, so what? So we would love to have you guys back. We had a great time. We learned a ton. And we wish you guys nothing but success. We hope your phone rings off the hook. Well, no. I hope your email blows up. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't expect an answer in 5 minutes like Aaron got.
Oh, it's a lie.
I appreciate you guys having us on. All right, great people to talk to and a great discussion. So,
all right. Thanks, fellas. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us with all the information, and catch us Tuesday nights on the American Uncensored Network at 23.7 on your Rabbit Ears TV.